Just before I preach and before we watch just a brief video, let me offer the word of the Lord to us for reflection. Hear the word of the Lord now from Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled."
This morning, as we reflect upon the scripture, I want to be intentional in not preaching in a particular way. I think that there's probably several ways in which one can preach on this text. One would be to say, let's assume the posture of Mary. Let's be open to what God wants to birth in us. I get a sense that that might be a good message, perhaps for next Advent, if God carries us all through. But for this Advent, I want to perhaps challenge us to consider the truth of the entire Advent story as God coming to us. He's the one who acts. He's the one who enters. He's the one who empowers. And he is the one that uses ordinary people. You know, when I was in youth ministry, we wrote, a bunch of us youth pastors got together and we wrote seminars to train youth workers and volunteers in youth ministry. And one of the things that I learned in those formative days of pastoral ministry is that the hero of the Bible, the hero of the story, is never really the human characters. And though it is important to emphasize good qualities in people throughout Scripture, we realize and recognize that as great a man as David was also a sinful man. As great a man as Moses was, he was also a doubting man. As great a man as and woman as we find in Scripture, there were always something about them that we could probably identify with. We can recognize that they are not as strong and as great as perhaps we tend to believe. But that the true hero of Scripture is the God who is faithful to his people. You see, I think that Advent and Christmas in particular is a time in which we become attentive to the God who is already present. If you were with us last week, we reflected on Psalm 46, in particular one verse that says, "Let us become still in order that we may know this God who has come into our world." This is not my sermon, but this is very important. In a season that to me as a pastor feels anything but still, in a season in which it seems to be louder and busier and more frantic and more conversations and more words and more anxieties, the countercultural call of Advent to the church is to recognize that often we miss the very God who is present with his people and so longs to make his presence known because we get caught up Our thoughts get hijacked. Our anxieties determine our focus. And yet in this season, God invites us to become still. To become still in Psalm 46 is an invitation to become attentive to what God would have us hear. And this morning, through His Word, I believe there are some things that God is drawing our attention to. In verse 32, He will be great, according to the angel Gabriel, who shows up and prophesies in the Old Testament as well. And He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. When the angel appears to Mary and makes this announcement, at this particular time in Israel's history, there was an anticipation of a Messiah. In fact, when Nathan the prophet shows up and prophesies over David, he says to David in 2 Samuel that his kingdom will know no end. There will be an inheritance. There will be an heir to the throne of David. Biblical scholars tell us that the expectations of a Davidic heir from the Old Testament to the throne was current and prevalent amongst Jews in the first century, not just as a religious concept, but even as a political one. So much so that the first century Jews interpreting the advent of the Messiah as a political event was quite likely. But what Luke draws our attention to as the angel comes to Mary is that not only would there be an earthly heir that would establish an earthly kingdom, but that what God is doing through Jesus Christ will continue on in perpetuity, everlasting, never ending. A kingdom that at times hangs on precariously upon the fragility of some human beings. God chooses Elizabeth, an aged woman, barren, unable to have children, to birth in her the precursor to Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. God uses Mary, the daughter of a Jewish family, to birth in her the Messiah. And yet in that kind of act, God reveals His great plan that He uses ordinary people to become a part of something that cannot be undone. You know, there's ways in which we can live our Christian life, in particular in this season. The world would say to us, as we look at the chaos, as we look at the division, as we look at the political landscape, as we look at the racism, as we look at exploitation, as we look at sickness, and as we look at illness in our world, that this truth is not real. And yet Mary responds in a way that affirms for us what we ought to see and do in this season. We must, as a church, believe what God says He has done. His kingdom has come, and His kingdom will know no end. I've preached this word before, hence the fact that I'm very low-key with you, because you've heard it in all its fiery goodness before. But you know, there's something significant about Christians who lives with the faith to believe God is in control. That what God has begun will be finished. What God has birthed in fragile human beings like Mary and Elizabeth is continued in His church through ordinary people like us. He is the God who comes and enters the ordinary life of people, especially those who are unexpected of such divine visits, especially those who do not see themselves as particularly gifted or able. This God chooses human beings to create for Himself a world in which all peace and joy and wholeness will become true. So the foundation of the Christian life is the hope we hold in this truth, that what God has done cannot be undone. I think as I reflect upon the text, not only do I believe that this kingdom will know no end, but we see in the scripture that in this season in particular, what we need as a church from God as He comes to us is not more initiative and ideas, at least not at first, but we need from God what only He can give, which is His Holy Spirit. I want you to pay attention to verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The language of overshadowing is reminiscent of how Luke elsewhere describes what the Holy Spirit does in specific people in very important times. The spiritual power of God comes upon the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then in the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they are empowered. I think for me as a pastor, I have to be reminded, and I'm sure you do too, that the work of God in our world cannot be accomplished by pure human initiative and intervention. As smart as we are, and as thoughtful as we must be in our day and age, I think the Advent story tells us that God's kingdom that endures is a kingdom that invites us to not only believe that God can do great things and to make ourselves available to Him as Mary did, but it is God's very provision of His Spirit, His power at work within ordinary people to accomplish His great purpose. It is a hard thing sometimes to give up control or to say to God, God, I need your power. I need your Spirit in me. But if I can put it to us in perhaps not selfish terms, but in perhaps bigger terms, what God desires to do is not only give me hope and peace and provision and daily bread, but He desires to reconcile a world. A world that can only be reconciled and healed when the people of God receives His provision, His Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever prayed this way. Jesus teaches us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. But He also says in the Gospels that if any one of us so desires for His Spirit to fill our hearts, that we must ask, for as good parents give their children good things, so our Heavenly Father desires to give us the greatest thing that He can give. His very Holy Spirit to empower our lives, to fill us. It is this Spirit that comes upon Mary and enables her to participate in such a significant way in the plan of God, in this kingdom work. And it is still the same way that God includes us in His plans. If we would but believe that by His Holy Spirit, we are capable to do much more than we ever hoped or dreamed. Not only as individuals, but as a church. It is my hope as a pastor of Skyview Church that we would grow in our capacity to blur the line between heaven and earth. It is my desire to see us become the answer to prayer for those who are hungry in our city. It is my desire to see us be the voice of those who are voiceless. It is my desire as pastor to see us be a church that are not just spiritual consumers of spiritual things, but spiritually transformed by the Holy Spirit so that this kingdom that is prophesied about and is spoken of in the Scriptures that will not know no end will become evident in and through the witness of the church. Because there are many people who needs the hope and needs the grace and needs the mercy that comes from God. For me, in this season, my prayer is quite simple. May I not only believe, Father, that amidst all that I see that is wrong, that your hope is enduring, but may you fill me with your Holy Spirit's presence and power. Back in the early days of the Nazarene Church, for those of you who don't know, we're a Nazarene church. That simply means we love Jesus. I hope you do too. But in the formative days of the Nazarene Church, we had such, I mean, you know, I'm not one of those guys because I'm not old enough to kind of hearken back to the old saying it was perfect, you know. That's not true. But the one thing we did, it seemed as I read our history, is unapologetically, we were humble enough to recognize that without God's Holy Spirit, the work of the church cannot be accomplished. It just could not. I think, you know, some of the most profound influences in our denomination and historically speaking, if you study church history, are men and women that did not rely primarily in their own strength or their own abilities, but called upon the name of God to fill them with His power and His Spirit. This God who enters our world does not only enter in general terms, He enters in specific terms. He comes to individuals and He fills them with His Holy Spirit. And He creates for Himself a community of people together filled by God's Holy Spirit to accomplish His great plan and His great purpose. And Jesus teaches us how to access this. Now I know this is not quite in my notes, but hey, what's new? It's as simple as asking Him. It's as simple as asking Him. You know, in Christmas time, we can ask the Lord for many things, right? You know, and are we not glad to see Him answer those prayers? Do we want to bring loved ones who are ill before Him? Absolutely. Do we want to bring our situations in our family and in our world before Him? Absolutely. But there is one prayer that I think significantly changes our personal lives as Christians is when we in humility pray that God would fill us with His Holy Spirit. Listen, there's no great argument I'm making other than stating the obvious. We ought to be a Spirit-filled people because God comes to us with the offer of His Holy Spirit. Not only does God fill us with His Holy Spirit, but He gives us His Word. His Word to which Mary responds with the affirmation that I will believe and may Your Word be fulfilled in me. I think in days of many words spoken, we can listen to the news. We can listen to social media. Boy, do we get a lot of information these days, don't we? I could tell you three different news stories that I got on social media alone yesterday. Some of them you have to question whether they're legitimate, but it's kind of like Wikipedia. We just kind of take them in and believe it's true, no matter who wrote them. But we return to the simplicity of trusting the Word as Mary received it. We too receive God's Word. She says, "May Your Word be fulfilled. May what You have promised be fulfilled. I believe in my own heart and life, the more I listen to God's Word," this is almost going back to basics for all of us, "the more I study and the more I listen and the more in faith I receive it, the more I am open to seeing the miraculous in my own life and in our world." I pray that God would grant us the courage to pray the prayer, "Fill me with Your Holy Spirit." You may sit here today and you may say, "Pastor Stu, I don't know. I don't feel like God wants to give me that. Or there's something in me that might hold me back from saying yes to that." In fact, some of us may even be saying, "I'm a little afraid of what that means to just allow God's Holy Spirit to rule in my life." Fear is sometimes the evidence of just kind of, we're not sure we want to really give up control. And yet today, in this very simple gymnasium transformed into a place of worship where God's holy presence is signified through candles lit and through songs sung and through words proclaimed, the Holy Spirit of God is present and wanting to fill His people and His church. Let me close by saying, and yes, you heard me right, close. And by that, I'm actually sincere. My dad used to say that, and then he'd go for another 30 minutes. But over the last several weeks, I've initiated prayer ministry, and we've come together at different occasions. And, you know, sometimes when you're pushing hard for things and you're working hard for things and you want to see evidence that it's doing something, right? It's like anything in life. I find as a pastor, it's best to kind of have a very patient disposition towards the work of God. God doesn't seem to answer in my timeline. But sometimes he gives me this little insights, this little perspectives of how he's working. Can I just end by testifying from conversations had as recent as yesterday to my observations in the life of many within our church that this God is doing something new in many of your lives? I want you to hear this because this is not me trying to make you feel good. This is me praising God because his Holy Spirit is renewing faith, returning the first love that once gripped many a heart. And that's not because of a pastor or a strategy. That is because God comes to his people. And when his people say, "May it be unto me as you have said," he does his very best for us. There is a renewal in many a heart. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I long for it. I sense that it's starting to God's starting to say something to me. You know, the longer we Christian, the harder it gets to kind of acknowledge that perhaps there is a need or an opening or something that we still desire. But may I encourage you in this season, not because of what Stu is saying, but because of what God says in his word, that he is the God who comes to us and gives us his Holy Spirit. That today, as we close, may that be our prayer. You may say, "Pastor Stu, well, I feel different if I pray that." You know, some people have. I shouldn't have said that before I asked you to pray it, should I? Some people have expressed that they've experientially felt something. Other people have not. And yet, throughout history and throughout the history of our church, when people pray that God fill them with his Holy Spirit, he does. And the evidence of that is in changed lives. The evidence of that is in what happens when we leave here. That is the meaning of Christmas. Yesterday, when I was talking to my children about the word holiday and suggested to them that it's derived from holy day, it was like this epiphany. And am I right, kids? They were like, they hijacked a good word and used it for holiday. I said, God's very gracious. He gives us liberally, and anybody can use these days. But Christmas is for us as a church a season of expecting God to show up and to be present with us. I ask you as I close in prayer, would you be open this morning to saying, "Come, Holy Spirit, overshadow us." Father, we are this morning a people that we are fatigued in all of that life demands. Sometimes we are overwhelmed. Life feels full. We see it even with our children. We see that, Father, this world seems to go at a grind and a pace that makes us less likely to be open to you and your Spirit. And yet, through your word and through Mary's experience, you invite us to believe again that what you have begun will know no end, that the kingdom of God has been established and one day will be fully realized. We live in that faith and in that hope. But Father, your kingdom also breaks in through individual lives, through people that are gathered here today. And so I pray that we would be open, that we would be honest, that we would be humble, and pray very simply that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill our lives and lead and guide us. Father, what we need, each and every one of us may be different in our own estimate, but what you desire to give us is so far more beneficial for our lives. In this season of gift giving and sharing, I pray that we would receive and learn to receive from you that which only you can give us. Renew the faith of those who are growing weak. Strengthen those who need strength. Uplift those who need encouragement. Heal those who need healing. But above all things, Father, give us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that empowers us to participate in the work of God so that hope would return not only to us, but into every part of our lives, into our families, into our communities, and across this world. For what we desire is for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Fill us anew and afresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.